But anyway, some young children wrote into their pastors and said, "Dear pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he's never met my sister. Dear pastor, my father should be a minister. Every day he gives us a sermon about something. Dear pastor, I'm sorry I can't put any more money in the plate, but my father hasn't given me a rise in my allowance. Could you please preach a sermon on raising your allowance?" Dear pastor, I really do truly believe more people would come to your church if you moved to Disneyland. And this is my favourite. "Dear pastor, I loved your sermon today, especially when it was finished." But we won't keep it too long. As I say, if I don't get through this for the next 3 months, it doesn't matter. But what we need to do is we need to grasp the lessons, David. This is the third week of this third portion of looking at the life of Abraham. You might look and notice that some of you have been at conference. That's going to start being your daily prayer. Katie is going to put this on the top of the news bulletin every week. "God, give me everything you've got for me." Do you know that's what God has? You see, God has something for everyone this morning. God had something for Abraham. And I'm sure Abraham's prayer was, "God, give me everything you've got for me." That's your first part of your prayer. "God, take away everything that is not good for me." So that's part two that Katie will put up. It's all right praying, "God, give me everything you've got for me." But what about, "God, take away everything that's not good for me"? How many people want the stuff in their lives taken away that God doesn't want them to have? You see, because in order for Abraham to have come into fulfillment of promise, God had to take away some things that we've been learning about. Don't be afraid. That's not a negative prayer, you know. That's a positive prayer. This is where we're up to. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. God wants to give you everything that He's got. But He wants that to be your motto. And we know that quote we saw from D.L. Moody. God had to take everything away from Abraham in order to give God, God had to take everything away from Abraham in order to give him everything he had for him. Was it Eliot who said it? "It is no secret to give up that which you cannot keep to gain that which you cannot lose." Sorry, not "is no secret." "It is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." God promised Abraham, if he gave up, he would receive. God's promised you and I the same thing. The amazing fact about Abraham is that he does what God asks. I say it's amazing because how many of us know often we don't do that? And we ended last week. Sorry, 2 weeks ago. Now Abraham started well, but got to halfway house and stayed. That wasn't everything God had for Abraham. These sermons, by the way, are on the internet. They're not long sermons to listen to. They're only about 20 minutes long. And probably be the same this morning. And we ended up with a question. Are you? We bow down. We confess. Are we fully committed to God? And Caroline gets up tomorrow morning. God's only asking her that in her ordinary, everyday life, to be fully committed to what God has called her to do. And that's three children. She has a missionary field with three children. She doesn't need to go around evangelizing. She has three to evangelize. Simon and Sarah have got three. God is just looking for us to live. Corrie Ten Boom said this about faith and promises. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, receives the impossible. He was a man called Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation. Come on here, Abraham. Look at the stars. Can you see them? How many there are? Can you see the sand on the seashore? Yes, I can. Well, listen. Your seed will be more than that. That's the invisible. And he believes it. He hasn't even got a son. He has no children. But he believes the unbelievable. And he certainly received the impossible. And Abraham is no different to you and I. You may be sitting here this morning, and I want to tell you that you cannot see all that God has for you. But I want you to believe that all that God has for you. And I want you to receive all that God has for you. Let's start our sermon this morning. On week 3. Do you know the tragedy of Abraham? Because he was stuck in halfway house. He wouldn't move in halfway house. And this verse is one of the most significant verses in Scripture regarding the life of Abraham. Terah lived 205 years. And he died in heaven. You take the very next verse, and God says to Abraham, start moving. You shouldn't be in halfway house. Start moving. It took affliction for Abraham to get moving again. It took the death of his father. I want to tell you, sometimes we can be stuck in halfway house, but God will not allow us to stay there. And I'll tell you what, he'll make our life very uncomfortable. God says, I chastise my children. I get my children when they step out of line. I want to encourage them to move on. And if that means Abraham, it's taking the death of your father, then so be it. But I, Abraham, I've got more in store for you than you're sitting in halfway house. Do not settle for halfway house. Do not settle for half of what God's got for you. Settle for all that God's got for you. That's why I'm saying, God, give me everything that you want to give me, but take away all that's not good for me. It wasn't good for Abraham to be in Haran. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he sat there at halfway house. But it took a tragedy situation to get him moving again. And I truly do believe that if you're born again in the family of God, and you are not where God wants you to be, he will stir you up. And he'll do it whatever method he has to do it. Because why? Because God has invested everything he has in you this morning. That's why we've been singing, we've got God invested his son in you this morning. He has now invested his Holy Spirit in you this morning. Tell me, how much investment is that? We've given you, no, our deacons, a bit of fun, our elders, £10, and have to go and make some money. But Peter says, you were not redeemed with such things as silver and gold. Those are perishable things. You were saved with something of the imperishable. God has invested too much in you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Smile. God has invested things in you this morning. It is not going to allow his investment not to bring fruit. It will not be God's fault. Because God wants to bring you to fulfillment and fruitfulness this morning. Oh, smile. Come on, God wants to give you pleasures that you've never seen. He's given you an inheritance that never fades away. Why are we settling for half of what God has in store for us this morning? And Abraham finally believes, in the sense that he says in Genesis 12 verse 1, when God speaks to him after the end of this verse, and Abraham finally decides he wants to move on with God. Oh, friend, do you want to move on with God? I really do hope you want to move on with God. I want to ask you a question, and did it bring him success? No, it didn't bring him success straight away. How true is that for you and me? You're walking with God and you think, well, God, I'm being faithful to you, Father. I'm doing everything you've asked me to do, but I ain't seeing no blessing, Father. Because my God isn't instant. We live in a world of instant. Instant food now. You press the microwave button in 2 minutes, you can be sitting down for a meal now, can't you? You press the kettle on, you must wait maximum 2 minutes for your kettle. And then 1 minute for the wife to make your coffee. About 3 minutes. My wife always says to me, you don't know where the kettle is. And I just answer, praise God. And next day Mary popped round to see us, and they were stunned that I was making them a drink. I said, Father, forgive them. You know not what they say. But we all live in an instant world, though, don't we? I want to tell you, do you know your God has invested a lifetime in you? Oh, thank you, Mary. Someone's happy about that. Philippians 1, verse 6. He that's begun a... What's he going to do? Hallelujah! He's going to carry it on. Abraham, I've got everything for you, but you must leave him. And no, success is not going to come overnight. Success is not going to come overnight. Just when you feel you've arrived, problems come into existence. Abraham suddenly got to this great country that God had promised him, and there was warlike nations surrounding him. But that wasn't the end of his problems. He has a tremendous famine. And Abraham makes a decision, which his son in later years was to do. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Abraham consulted God. It didn't tell us he did. It didn't tell us he didn't. But we do know that God did tell his son, Isaac, not to go to Egypt and disobey him. And Isaac still went. And we do know that his grandson, Jacob, went down to Egypt. Egypt seems to play some prominent part here in the early patriarchs. But there was a famine, and Abraham decided the best thing he could do for his family was to take them to Egypt. And it was the blackest spot in Abraham's character. So I don't know whether God told him to go to Egypt. All I know is that when Abraham got to Egypt, we reveal how imperfect he was. I'm thankful that God did that in many senses. It's good to know that even the great Abraham sometimes blew it. And Abraham, you know, was called a friend of God by Isaiah 41 verse 8. He's the only person I know that is referred to in this terminology. Perhaps you could tell me some other. He's the only one I know who was actually called a friend of God. And yet he was still imperfect. What did he do? Abraham got his wife to lie for him. He lived a pretense because Abraham's intention was to save his own skin, and to do it, he got others to do a deception. You see, for Abraham, it showed a reliance on worldly policy rather than a trust in the promise of God. Abraham, I will give you all the nations in the world. Remember the promise? I will make out of you a great nation, Abraham. And your seed will eventually come the Messiah. I brought you out here because God, I want to give you everything, Abraham. And the first time of trouble as Abraham enters this new land, he allows himself and his wife to go into deception and into lying. But I'm thankful that God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. Aren't you? You see, God brought it to the attention of the king. This king hadn't done anything wrong. He actually thought, because he was told, that it was Abraham's sister. And it said, the Bible says, she was beautiful to look at. So the king naturally thought, well, I'll take her into my harem. He really thought he'd done nothing wrong. But yet God spoke to him. In fact, he spoke to him by putting a plague. You'd think Abraham would get the plague, wouldn't you? After all, it was Abraham who was living the deception. It wasn't the king. Isn't it great to know that your God still intercedes, even when we're off path? Oh, friends, we only need to smile. We've got a God who loves us so much that even when we cross him, his grace is still over us. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior we serve this morning. Someone, even in our deepest and darkest days, still sits there and says, I love you. You are my child. I promised you I will never leave you nor forsake you. I promised you that I will remain faithful to you, even when you remain unfaithful to me, 1 Timothy. Suffice was this, though. Abraham realized that he could rely on the promises of God. I want us to remember, failure to consult God always leads into trouble. I wonder how many of you consulted God in your marriage. I wonder how many of you consulted God before you got married. I wonder how many of you know that God is interested in everything that you do. Everything that you do. I want you to know something this morning, that if you haven't consulted God and you've made a decision, I want to tell you that God is still there for you this morning. That you might have made some wrong roads and made some wrong decisions. You may have gone down into Egypt. Egypt always represents sin. But God is still there. God still loves you. And the wonderful verse in Scripture is, if we confess our sins, he is able. Isn't it wonderful to know? Friend, God doesn't want you inherent. He doesn't want you in halfway house. And he doesn't want you to live a life of deception. God will not bring instant success into your life. Very rarely does God bring instant success into your life, because he's working through you to make you a better, stronger, and more spiritual character. And that will at times mean you will feel the strong arm of God. But remember that God has promised you to take you to the right to the end. God isn't going to drop you. God isn't going to leave you. You may say, well, I find that my life, I just can't see God. That doesn't mean to say he's not there. I can't feel God. Well, that doesn't mean to say God isn't there. God says, I'm not leaving you. What's he saying? I'm not leaving you. God says, I will cleanse you when you come back to me. What does he mean? But remember the verse. Here's what I want you to do. In all your everyday working, sleeping life, with God's help, present to your life a sacrifice to God. The key words, with God's help. With God's help. Abraham, you could have made it in Egypt with God's help. You didn't need to lie. You didn't need deception. With God's help, your ordinary, everyday, working life in Egypt, Abraham, could have been for the glory of God if we only ask for his help. And so we've seen Abraham. He has done the stage of leaving his home and country. The next is in finance. Wow, this is a subject we won't want to talk about, will it? But I want to tell you that one of the key things that made Abraham prosperous was his finance. Genesis 13 and 8 says, notice the entreaty by Abraham. Here he comes. Here comes a problem with his nephew Lot. And the problem is God has blessed them both richly. Oh, God's poured out his blessing. I don't believe in prosperity teaching, but I do believe God wants to bless us. And here God makes Abraham rich and he makes Lot rich. And both of them now become a struggle. The land is not big enough for both of us. And here I want you to notice what Abraham says. You see, Abraham could have said, listen, you think the land is too big for you? I'm the one who's brought you and carried you out of Haran and brought you here. I'm the oldest. I have the rights. You see, Abraham had the right to claim the first bit of the land. He was the oldest. Lot was also his nephew and was under his guardianship. But I want you to notice how this man reacts, Abraham. Do I get the first choice? That's not Abraham. And they're looking at their whole scenery in front of them. And instead of Abraham demanding his rights, he surrenders his rights. He says, okay, take your choice. If you go to the right hand, I will go to the left. If you prefer the left, then I will go to the right. I could demand, but I'm willing to surrender. I wonder this morning, how do we react when we believe our rights have been looked over? See, I believe Abraham learned a lesson. I believe after he came out of Egypt, Abraham knew that God had everything for him. And Abraham no longer had a fight. He could say that prayer we said at the beginning. God, give me everything you've got for me. And listen, I'm prepared to let my nephew go first. I'll let him take whatever choice he wants. I'll give up my rights. You see, when you're born again Christian, you have to remember one thing only. God is in control of your life. God is in control. And no human being can do nothing to the person who's in Christ Jesus. If we submit our lives to him. But how do you react when you feel you've been overlooked? Because one of the greatest problems with Christians today, and it brings insecurity and makes themselves inferior, is when somebody is overlooked and they feel diminished or devalued. You need to understand and know that there will be times when we will be overlooked, even in our church life. Even amongst our own family, people can feel inferior. My two sisters, I'm sure, thought my mom loved me more than anyone else. Well, I mean, that's understandable when you look at how perfect that was. Actually, I mean, they should have understood that. But how many families have had bitter war because one of the children feel inferior? I can think of two, Isaac and Esau. Oh, could it be Esau and Jacob even? Esau and Jacob. To the point where Jacob was terrified to go home because he thought his brother was going to kill him. Because his parents loved one child rather than the other. It's a lesson for parents. But I want to tell you something as we close this section. We're only doing a little bit at a time. Abraham had got to a point in his life where he knew that God was in control of his life. And because God was in control of his life, he knew he could step back and allow Lot to have the first choice. You see, there was two brothers. And they were arguing who was going to have the last piece of cake. And the mother came in and said, I'm tired of you two. Jake and Thomas, I am tired of you two always fighting. I want you to take a lesson here over this last piece of cake. What would Jesus do? And Jake said to Thomas, well, he would offer Thomas the last piece of cake. And she says, Thomas, what would Jesus do? Thomas said he would offer Jake the last piece of cake. She says, that's right. So Jake says to Thomas, his brother, you play Jesus. But he would, wouldn't he? Because Jesus Christ gave up his rights that you might come into salvation this morning. Philippians chapter 2 makes it quite clear. God gave up his rights that you might receive salvation this morning. Why? Because Christ knew that God would give him everything he ever wanted. Christ knew if he gave up his rights, one day you would be sitting in this church this morning, his dear beloved child. Because God is committed to give Jesus Christ everything to him. But what was the key? The key is this. It is best to leave the choice to God. It is best to leave. You see, Lot, as we close, Lot wanted all that he could see with his eyes. Abraham wanted all that God could see with his eyes. What a difference. Is that how you see things this morning? Do you see your things in a worldly perspective? What I can see, what I want. Do you see yourself in the sense of what does God see for me? So I tell you what God sees for you. God sees for you a life of prosperity in that sense that God's richest blessing he wants to pour upon you. When God looks at you, he has got eyes and a heart for you that you'll never know and can never conceive. He tells us that in his scripture time and time again. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has. Friends, don't look at what you can see. Look at what God can see for you this morning. Let me tell you, heaven will be precedented with gifts that last for eternity. God gives the best to those who leave the choice with him. God, let's say this together. God gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. How many seriously believe that though? How many seriously believe it? Or how many seriously think you've got to work out your own way to get to the top of the tree? That's the world's view. It's not God's view. I truly do believe we're finished now. I truly, seriously believe this morning that God has the best for you this morning. I really do. Nothing can convince me otherwise. That God has not got something in store for you which will blow your mind away. The trouble is we've not left the choice to him. We've done it my way instead of his way. I trust we'll learn from lesson from Abraham as we finish the short bit of message this morning. Abraham could say to Lot, take whatever you want, whatever you can see, take it. I don't care. If it costs me financially, if it costs me flocks, sheep, grass, you take it. You take it, son. You go. I'm leaving the choice to God. Why could you do that, Abraham? Because God promised me out of my seed, many nations will come. As Corrie ten Boom said, Abraham, believe God. Believe God for the invisible. Knew about the unbelievable and received the impossible. Don't settle for hiring house. Don't settle for anything less. Please, brothers and sisters, settle for what God has in store for you. It's Katie, June, you at the front, you at the back. That's for Irene too. God has got something special. Father, we thank you that he who leaves the choice to you will receive the best portion of